Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. It's always our delight and joy to have you join in the dialogue, the discussion. By doing that, you can dial the number 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion. We're going to be talking about today a theological, doctrinal, biblical subject, facts about heaven. What do you know about heaven? Where is it? Is it a real place? Who will be there? How long will we be there? What are the requirements for entering heaven? What are some of the terms in the Bible for heaven? Will the lost be there? Will there be any sin in heaven? What are the details about heaven? How much do we know about heaven? I have Pastor Davis with me today. We're going to be talking about that together, Pastor. Thank you for joining me.
Amen. Thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Youngblood. It's a privilege and an honor to be here always, and it's always so exciting, amen, to be have a chance to sit down and discuss the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. It's always a blessing, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. Always.
Not a greater joy than to be able to talk about the Word of God and encourage people to understand what the Scripture says and apply the Scripture in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about issues each and every day, let me remind you once again, when we talk about issues, it can be in about three major categories. God created the home, God created government, God created the church, and He did so in that order. And from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, anything we discuss about government or politics, as it's called, anything we discuss about the church and for the household of God and the home and the family and issues there. So from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, it is a total overview of all of the three major institutions that God created. And we have the responsibility of being aware of them. We have the responsibility of defending the faith once delivered to the saints. And as we do so, we look to the Word of God for that. That's the truth book. This is the reason I say that as Jesus made the statement in John 8:31-32, He says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." It's the truth of the Word of God that sets us free, ladies and gentlemen. And Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then He makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. So often we have people that do not know the truth of the Word of God, and so they're in a constant state of fear and concern. May I just touch on this? Ladies and gentlemen, I found a lot of people still wearing a mask, still all masked up, going along with the masquerade, and yet they're not paying attention to even the secular news media now, the Communist Network News, and the MSNBC, ABC, CBS, et cetera, all of them are now recognizing the fact that we've been lied to for a year and a half by Emperor Fauci, Lord Fauci, Dr. Fauci, and he's now in the hot seat for his lies and his deception and the flip-flopping. In fact, when you look at what we've been deceived by and how we've been deceived, and yet there are a lot of folks today, Pastor, that's still frightened, fearful, and they're still living in a state of fear. I was in a place of business just yesterday, and four ladies came walking in. Three of them were unmasked, and one had a mask on. And I was sitting there in absolute amazement of individuals going out in the open air in the beautiful sunshine and God's fresh air wearing a mask, and thinking somehow, some way that they're doing something to protect themselves, and it's harming one's lung system and his brains by the oxygen depletion as a result of wearing it. But it's going back to the point that it gets to the truth of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? And when it comes to that aspect of it, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God's not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
And yet
Amen.
We see folks walking around in fear today,
Amen.
Pastor. And when it comes to things and the issues that we're talking about, we need to understand that truth is the source book for our lives. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that taking place today. It was the former Senator Jim DeMint that made a statement, and I'm looking at his article here. It's a wonderful article. I'm just going to read a blurb from it. DeMint warns America's decline linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of biblical-based Christianity in America," end quote. Further, Senator DeMint says, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian churches."
Amen.
And
Amen.
Pastor, when it comes to our subject today, and we're talking about the facts about heaven, it is the fact that multitudes today talk about heaven and occasionally will refer to heaven, but not really know the details about heaven.
Amen.
Because they don't know the truth of the Word of God. It's the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made the statement, "Faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, love the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the era in which we're living in today. That we need to defend the truth, and the truth is from the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own lawn care or landscape business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands with Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole and the U.S. flag flowing 24/7 at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about facts about heaven. That telephone number is 831-0917. In our fast-paced society today, ladies and gentlemen, the pressure cooker that we live in called life, rarely does a person think about going to heaven. Pastor, I have talked with so many people down to less than 100 years now, as I call it.
Amen.
And I've not seen a person yet that says, "Let's talk about heaven." Most of them are talking about living. Most of them are talking about business. Most are talking about the next plans for a vacation. Most are talking about the next car, the next home, the next suit of clothing, et cetera. Rarely do you find one talking about, thinking about, and discussing heaven.
Amen.
I've been
Amen.
Amazed by the a popular thought, ladies and gentlemen, that everyone who dies is going to heaven. Pastor, I've not seen anybody, and I've attended a lot of funerals. I've had the privilege of officiating at many, many, many funerals down through the years, but I've not seen many funerals where the pastor or anybody involved says that person's in hell.
Amen.
You don't see that. Do
not
you?
A one.
You know, everybody wants to talk about good for that person that's in that casket at the front of the church or in the front of the room in the mortuary. But never will forget, Pastor, hearing the story of a funeral that was taking place, and the little boy's daddy had died. He and his mama sitting on the front row, and the preacher kept on talking about how good that man was and all the great things he had done and all the great feats that he had accomplished, et cetera, et cetera. That little boy finally leaned over and punched mom in the ribs and said, "Mommy, Are you sure that's Daddy in that box up there?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, there's a lot of times that you, and I recall, ladies and gentlemen, watching on television when a U.S. House of Representative member last year, I've forgotten the date, mid-year last year sometimes, had passed away. Nancy Pelosi took part in part of his eulogy. And Nancy Pelosi half-handedly quoted or referred to a scripture verse, and then she talked about how that man was now walking with Jesus in heaven.
My mind.
And yet, I don't know of anything in his life that would be a public example of a Christian or person that would be walking with Jesus when he dies. But that was the position that she took, that he was now walking with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, many today feel that when a person dies, he becomes an angel, or he's walking on water, or he has a halo on his head. He's walking with Jesus, never considering the fact, asking the question, where is that person going to spend eternity? You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you die, when I die, there's only two places, two destinies, and the eternal destiny will be the abode, one or the other, of heaven or hell.
Amen.
And yet many today do not recognize those two destinies are determined. The destiny that you'll spend eternity in is determined by your saying yes to Jesus Christ or rejecting him. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully as we get into a brief overview, synoptic study, briefly, of the facts about heaven. In fact, recently I preached a message about a year ago from the pulpit called That Place Called Heaven. It was a two-hour message just to do a skinny thumbnail oversketch of That Place Called Heaven according to the scripture. And we're in the process, by the way, of that being placed in a manuscript form for the publication of a new book called That Place Called Heaven. And I'm looking forward to that. But as we think about That Place Called Heaven and trying to squeeze that in a brief time that we have on the radio broadcast, it take a little mathematical genius work to do so. But I'm looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on it. 831-0917. Some of the cults, Pastor, some of the Christian cults, as they're called, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, generally called Christian cults, and there are others, the Way International, et cetera, et cetera. But some of the Christian cults, especially Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a precise understanding of heaven. In fact, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that everybody's going to die. When you die, whether you're saved or lost, you're going to have grave sleep. You're going to be asleep in the grave until Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, everybody's going to be resurrected in a universal resurrection. By the way, there won't be a universal resurrection. But in that universal resurrection, as they teach it, and that false theological, false doctrinal teaching, they said everybody be resurrected. Then those that are saved will spend eternity with Jesus on earth. And the others then will be sent to back to the grave because they don't believe in hell. It's just simply eternal soul sleep, as it is called. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not true. That's a false cultic teaching. The Bible does not teach that at all. And we need to be very, very careful with what we understand about biblical truths. When it comes to heaven, Pastor, the Bible has the name heaven 691 times,
amen,
I believe is the number. And so I just use the term over 600 times, you find the word heaven. Heaven in Hebrew means the heights. Heaven in Greek means that which is raised up. Heaven in the English primarily means that which is above. So when we think about heaven, heaven is always referred to as being up.
Amen.
So when
Amen.
We talk about going to heaven, we're talking about going up.
Up.
And
Amen.
We're talking about where we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to give very quickly so we can understand which heaven we're talking about. I've had people ask before, well, which heaven? Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, there's the atmospheric heavens, the space immediately around the earth. In fact, Isaiah 55, verse 9, 10, 11 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
Amen.
That's the atmospheric heavens. Then you have the celestial heavens. The Old Testament and the New Testament, both, ladies and gentlemen, refer to that vast space above, which includes the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars, etc. In fact, in Genesis 1:14, light in the firmaments of heaven, the scripture says. In Genesis 15:5, it talks about the stars. emails that's been received as a result of the Freedom of Information Act that now reveals behind the scenes of what Lord Fauci has done to deceive the nation. And as a result of that, millions around the globe have died, and about 500 plus thousand in America. I'm concerned about it because it takes away your freedom and mine, takes away your liberty and mine, the liberties that we have to worship God, to serve God without any intimidation, any infringement, any intervention from the federal government or state governments. I believe we have Jim on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, how
are you? Yes, sir. Great. I hope you're well.
Hey, I am well. Thank you for asking. I don't think you're tell us how you really feel about Tony Fauci there.
I'm trying.
I'm gonna be honest with everybody. When this first came out, I heard all the news, and I was frightened. And then I remembered that Anthony Fauci was behind the same type of mass hysteria that was generated in the early 80s in regards to HIV. Then I paid attention and started reading because I wanted to educate myself. And two things came to my mind as I watched this man. One, he's an administrative doctor. He's a bureaucrat. Yes. He hasn't practiced medicine in years. And two, he reversed himself. And then the most important thing that I remembered, that if COVID got me, well, I get to go see Jesus.
This is WTRJ The Truth, and we do apologize due to technical difficulties. The Let's Face the Issue broadcast with Dr. Gene Youngblood was interrupted, and we are having to bring you a best-of program for today's broadcast. Be sure to join us Monday for another live edition of Let's Face the Issues.
Been prone to call him Emperor Fauci as a result of that, and that fear is there. But yet with COVID, for those that caught COVID, less than 25% died as a result of COVID. And yet with the push for masks, and we'll talk about this further in the broadcast, 85% of those that died with COVID wore masks 97% of the time. 97% of the time they were masked up inside the house, outside the house, wherever they would go. But yet 85% of those with COVID wore masks 97% of the time. And yet we have Fauci still today vacillating on whether or not a mask is beneficial. And yet the email trail shows that he changed his mind two or three times in relationship to masks. Even warned with one that had written him, warned that a mask is not recommended because it does not stop COVID. And yet we have those in the medical profession. Jim, I think the most egregious thing to me is the medical profession today, this dumb as rock in relationship to the truth of what a mask does and what a mask does not do. I've had the privilege of interfacing with perhaps 20 or 30 physicians and asking questions. Why do you wear the mask? What's the mask for? What does it relate to? Well, we've been told to wear it. They work in a hospital setting. They work in a large medical practice, and they've been told from the top down, again, the administrators, that you got to wear the mask. And they say, we hate it. We don't believe that it helps, but we're wearing the mask because we've been told to do so. And yet we have those today that out of pride walking down the streets and the sidewalks, in and out of stores, thinking that it's the end thing to do because a mask is supposed to protect you from that COVID pathogen. I find it egregious when it comes to the medical profession.
Yeah, that's virtue signaling there.
That's all.
I come to that conclusion within a couple of weeks. And I had to talk a lot of my friends down. And then I reminded them that we live in Florida and that chain link fences don't stop mosquitoes. So that kind of helped.
Well, you know, it's been probably 6 or 8 months ago, and I don't know if it's still there. The OSHA website had on it a very similar statement. OSHA said putting a mask on is like putting a chain link fence on your face to keep the gnats out. And yet we have the medical profession totally sold on wearing a mask. They'll chase you out of their office if you do not wear a mask. The doctor will not see you unless you have a mask on. I just made it a practice. If the physician doesn't want to see me, if I don't wear a mask, I just find another physician. I'm not going to put a mask on. Yet. Don't intend to.
I haven't.
Go ahead.
I go out of my way whenever I see those around me that are not wearing masks. I make sure I wink at them and tell them, well, at least somebody else is sane with me.
And, amen. keep up the good work. That's what it's going to take to spread the news that we are free citizens. If a woman can say, I have control over my own body, I can murder the baby in my womb, surely I, as a free citizen in America, have the right to say what I will do and will not do for my own personal health. And yet we're told you can't do that. And that's on the fast track, as you know, for the forced COVID vaccination, the COVID pass that's now being examined, by the way, by the Department of Health and Human Services, called DHS, Department of Homeland Security, that is. They're now studying the possibility of requiring masks, and not masks, but vaccinations, COVID vaccinations, for all citizens in the United States of America to be able to travel even from state to state. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast. Jim, thank you so much for your call, brother. Keep on looking up.
Sir.
Keep on standing up for truth. That's what we need encourage our listeners to do. God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Fauci lied, millions died. How do we get our liberties back? How do we get our freedoms back? We've been brought into total subjection, total submission, total conditioning by the governmental authorities that have put the U.S. citizen in a position of simply being peasants, simply being slaves to the state, where we need to bow and bend at every whim and wish. They have tested us, ladies and gentlemen, and the government's been able to prove by testing the citizens how easy it is to get us to bow and bend and be in total subjection to the authoritative rule and rulings of a fascist form of government. That's what has Joe Biden in control today, is a fascist form of government. It is a fascism that we see permeating society today, where there's a move to totally change America from a constitutional republic to a socialist Marxist society with a fascist form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Fauci lied, millions died. How do we get our liberties and freedoms back? That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Do you have a problem with the facts that I'm presenting? Do you have information that you'd like to add to or change, your questions you'd like to ask? Perhaps you have been in a position where you've been asked to leave a business or a place, a professional workplace. I'd love to know. In fact, there, I believe it's the state of California, the state of Texas, I forgot which, it could have been Colorado, where 117 nurses have filed suit against the hospital because the hospital is saying now that you must get vaccinated. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that further in this broadcast also today. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems we're finding is that we're being controlled by Washington. It is almost like a child having to go to its parent and say, may we go out? May we take the useless mask off? May we go to church today? May we not take the government experimental vaccination shot? May we, the people, ladies and gentlemen, be free again? That's the question that we need to examine and consider in this broadcast today. May we, the people, with our own health, control it. May we, the people, have a decisive decision with the God-given rights and the constitutional freedoms and liberties that we have. May we be given back our rights and our liberties and our freedoms. Ladies and gentlemen, the condition in America today, the shutdown, the church closures, the mask mandates, and our loss of liberties goes back to Dr. Anthony Fauci, and it's right to his doorsteps, right to his fingerprint, thumbprint on all that's been said and done. The head of the National Institute of Health. He's the highest paid federal worker in America today. I believe it's some $435,000 a year is his income. And as our previous caller said, he's not practiced medicine for some time. In fact, it's been 43 years since he practiced medicine. He's just simply a bureaucrat figurehead today. He can be fired. And Senator Rand Paul just suggested that we fire Dr. Fauci for lying to America. Go back and check it if you think those facts are false. Senator Rand Paul said we need to fire Dr. Fauci because of his culpability in what has taken place with the pandemic. Here's an article that says GOP congressman blast official COVID narrative. Worst cover-up in human history, he said. The top Republican said Sunday that he believes the coronavirus behind the COVID-19 pandemic originated in a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and that China has been engaged in a massive cover-up ever since. Republican Mike McCaul of Texas, the ranking Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, appeared on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday and was asked about the origins of the virus. You know, his quote, you know, I do think it's more likely than not it emerged out of the lab, most likely accidentally for several reasons, he said to the host, Jake Tapper, referring to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And first of all, Jake, let me say this, the worst cover-up in human history that has ever been seen, resulting in 3.5 million deaths, created economic devastation around the globe, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a correct statement. It's been a massive cover-up. We want to pull the curtain back on that cover-up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a top-of-the-hour news break. We'll be back right after about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues today.
Let's face the issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. More Americans went back to work in May, but hiring fell short of what economists were expecting. With a modest 559,000 jobs created, the unemployment rate slipped to 5.8%. The Western drought has California's many reservoirs at dangerously low levels. Experts say the state's more than 1,500 reservoirs, 50% lower than they should be at this time of year. Former President Trump says he's glad he didn't take Dr. Anthony Fauci's advice on some virus-related issues. Mr. Trump speaking out following the release of thousands of Fauci emails this week, thanks to the Freedom of Information Act. On the heels of the May jobs report, Wall Street is higher. The Dow is up 109 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 189, and the S&P up 31 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the technical difficulties, but I'm thankful for some wise men at the helm at the radio station that's able to plug in some previous broadcast information while we were scrambling to get the technology and the internet back up. But I'm delighted that you're still with us. We're talking about today, as we started out with our broadcast, Facts About Heaven. And I'm with Pastor Davis today. Pastor, Satan works overtime trying to prevent the word from going out, doesn't he?
Amen. Amen, Dr. Youngblood. And that's what I said, amen, immediately when this problem came up and I started to rebuke Satan.
Amen.
Amen. The blood of Jesus is against you.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot stop the works of God. You do not have the power. Our God has all power. Amen.
Our God shall fight for us, Nehemiah 4:20 says.
Amen.
But
amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about heaven, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. There are 3 different heavens, the atmospheric heavens, the celestial heavens, the abode of God, and it's the abode of God, the place that we're talking about today, that place called heaven. And when one dies, there's an eternity. And every one of us, Pastor, I don't care who we are, every human being is born to live for all of eternity.
Amen.
We're eternal beings. And so when we die, that's just the physicality. But that real you, the real me, the spirit person, will live for eternity either in heaven or in hell. And heaven is a real place. And some call it paradise. In fact, there's some that refute that paradise is the same place as heaven. But when Jesus was on the cross and there was the dying thief with him, that he turned to him and said, "Remember me." Jesus says in Luke 23:43, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
And Jesus wasn't saying, I'm going to a holding tank called paradise, and then one day we're going to come out of that. This day thou shalt be with me, Jesus speaking, in paradise. That's another term for heaven. So don't let anybody confuse you. There are a lot of folks, so-called theological minds today, that will try to bifurcate it and say that paradise is a holding tank, is a temporary place between present life and eternity. And ladies and gentlemen, that simply is not true. Don't let anyone deceive you into believing that. That's where the Roman Catholicism comes in with what is called limbo or purgatory. They get their limbo and their purgatory from the term of that called paradise when they misunderstand and misrepresent it theologically, doctrinally speaking.
Amen.
But Jesus
Amen.
Says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. In Revelation 2:7, Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him that overcometh, that is the ones that are saved, and I will give unto him, let him eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen. Amen.
That's paradise. That's heaven. So we're talking about heaven. We're talking about paradise.
Amen.
And that place called heaven is also called the city of God in Hebrews 12:22. It's called the holy city, Nehemiah 11:2, and Revelation 21:2. It's called New Jerusalem, Revelation 3:12, Revelation 21:2. It's called the holy Jerusalem, Revelation 21:10. It's called the new heaven, Revelation 21:1, 2 Peter 3:13. It's called the new earth, Isaiah 66:22, Revelation 21:1. It's also called Beulah Land. And that's the only place in the Bible, by the way, you find the term Beulah Land in Isaiah 62:4. And sometimes heaven is simply called Glory Land.
Amen.
And we're talking about going to glory.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Is that place called heaven.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a very brief question before we further our study on that place called heaven. And we talk about the facts about heaven today. Let me ask you a question. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Have you made arrangements? Have you bought the ticket? Have you settled the deal? Have you made the decision that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? Pastor, there are a lot of people, and we touched on this before our technical interruption on the broadcast today. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but for the benefit of our listeners now, there are a lot of people today that think that somehow, some way, they can just forget God, leave Jesus Christ out of their lives, and when they die, somehow, some way, they still are going to heaven.
Amen.
What do you say to that person that has never made a decision for Jesus yet? Somehow, some way, they think that they're all right. They think that somehow, some way, that they're going to go to heaven. What do you say to that person? How do we respond to people like that?
Amen. Well, I'm going to say, first of all, Dr. Youngblood, I like the old cliche that the older saints used to do. Get your business fixed.
That's right.
Amen. You need to get
your
business
house in order.
Amen. Get it fixed. Amen. Right now while you have a chance.
Right.
Amen. Because again, my friend, this is no dreamland. This is no figment of your imagination. And if you listen at, amen, the scripture that Dr. Youngblood just read, amen, that Jesus promised you,
right,
amen, that you are going to be able to eat from the tree of life, that's not a disembodied spirit that's eating from that tree.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's a real person.
Real
amen.
Person.
That means you will be.
Real person in a real place. Called
amen.
Heaven.
Amen. And now let's go back to the scripture again. Acts, amen, chapter 1, when Jesus, amen, left from the Mount of Olives, he left in a real body.
That's right.
He was not a disembodied spirit, my friend.
Right.
So that's what you're going to be.
Absolutely.
Amen. You're going to have feelings. Amen. You're going to have, amen, a lot of the same qualities that you have right now, only you will have a glorified body.
Glorified body, new body.
We will not have to petition Elon Musk for $1 million spacesuit.
You got it.
Amen. We will have that, amen, glorious, amen,
we'll
resurrected
we'll
body.
We'll have that
amen.
Spacesuit. Absolutely. I believe
Praise
we have
God.
Tom on the line. Brother Tom, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. In regards to heaven, I know it's a perfect place. I mean, absolute perfect. And the next thing I know, no politician can sell you a ticket there.
That's right.
He doesn't possess any. And
Amen.
The third thing I know is when you get to the gate, all you have to do is tell, if it is St. Peter, is say, my ticket's already been bought and paid for. It was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. It is only the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can pay the price, if you will, for our ticket to heaven, for our entry into heaven. And as you said a moment ago, it is a beautiful place. It is a, in fact, I use the term, it's a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And that prepared place is for a prepared people. And in heaven, it is already prepared for every child of God, for everyone that's ever said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. It Amen. Is a pictorial place. In fact, in Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2, verse 2 says, it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Amen.
That means it is pure. It is the holy city. It is righteousness. It is pristine. And there'll be no sin in that place called heaven. And I'm thankful for that. Brother Tom, I'm looking forward to that. You perhaps our listeners have heard the story of the little boy in the Sunday school classroom. Teacher was teaching on heaven that morning, and she said, how many of you would like to go to heaven? Everybody raised the hand but one little lad. And she said, Johnny, I thought you were looking forward to going to heaven. He said, I am, but I thought you were taking tickets up to get on the bus now. There are a lot of people that talk about heaven in the by and by, but they're not ready to go now.
Amen.
It's the whole problem today. But Tom, brother, thank you so much for your call and your input. You're exactly right. And every child of God, every Christian should be excited about the potentiality and the looking forward to with grand, great anticipation of that day that we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Pastor, according to Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, both of them talk about the fact that we'll be around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Singing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, throughout eternity with the Lord Jesus. And I'm looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is a pictorial place. It is pure. It is pure. It is not a place where there will be the malignity called sin. There's no sin, no sickness, no crying, no dying in that place called heaven. It's a prepared place, as I said a moment ago. But let me read that. Pastor, if you would read for us in the John 14th chapter, read the first three verses that sets the stage for our conversation about some of the facts on heaven.
Amen. Amen. John 14.
1, 2, and 3.
Amen. Amen. This is what the Lord said. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen. And what many times we have people that misunderstand that text. It's a prepared place for prepared people, but people talk about a mansion. The word mansion there, in my Father's house and many mansions, it's literally the term many dwelling places. And the custom, the culture of that era when this text was penned by man, that was given to them by God, there was the Father's house, and it had many rooms in it, and the son would get married and bring his bride back, and that would be their dwelling place in the Father's house with that room that was provided by the Father.
Amen.
And so the picture we see of heaven is in the Father's house. There's the dwelling place that we dwell with him throughout all of eternity. Heaven is a pictorial place. It's pure. It's prepared just as a bride adorned for her husband. And it's pretty, the scripture says, as a bride adorned for her husband, that is made ready. In fact, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, the scripture says this, ladies and gentlemen, 21:2. And John saw the holy city, that's speaking of heaven, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Amen.
And that,
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see how is the bride adorned for her husband. She is prepared. She's arrayed. She's beautiful and waiting to greet her husband. It is a bride adorned, made ready. That's beautiful, radiant, glowing, and beautiful. And that's what we see the picture for heaven.
Amen.
Heaven is a private place too, Pastor.
Amen. And you know what? It's such a such a reality.
Yes.
Can I say that? Because each one of us, Dr. Youngblood, that have received the bride, just like you and I, if your mind goes back on the day, amen, that you, amen, were joined together in holy matrimony.
Amen.
Amen. My bride was a beautiful bride.
That's right.
Amen. And I was so excited
yes.
to see it when those doors flung open.
Yes.
How beautiful she was from head to toe.
Yes.
Adorned with the best of the best.
That's right.
Why? Because I tried the rest and I got the best.
That's right.
Amen. But Dr. Youngblood, it's so exciting when the Lord tells us things in Scripture. Amen. I believe it lets us know, amen, that Jesus compared earthly things with heavenly things. Amen.
Right.
And he told us in here, in what we just read in John, amen, chapter 14, I believe that's verse 2.
That's right.
He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Mm-hmm. So, my friend, he doesn't have any need to mislead you or tell you any lies concerning anything in the Word of God. He puts it there for us so that we would have a greater hope of things to come.
Right.
And I don't know about you, amen, but I receive that as a promise,
yes,
amen.
It is
he
a promise,
promised, amen, that he will prepare a place for me and that he's coming again to receive
me.
Amen.
And where he is, he's going to prepare that place for us, that where he is, we may be also.
Amen.
He's promised to come and get us. And I tell people, when I die, it won't be the water boy that comes to get me. It won't be the sideline keeper. It'll be Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also.
Amen.
So one of the things we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is heaven is a beautiful place. It's a pictorial place. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. But, Pastor, one of the things that I think that we need to touch on in this broadcast today, heaven is a private place.
Amen.
It's a private place. Revelation 21:3 says, behold, that means look intently and see, the tabernacle, that's the abode, the dwelling place of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and notice, and be their God, the scripture says.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about heaven, it is a place that is a prepared place. It's a pretty place. It is a pictorial place. It's a private place. Because in heaven, there won't be anybody there but the Lord Jesus Christ, all the heavenly beings, and every child of God, everyone that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go with the question and comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, I think there's positive and negative candidates for heaven. The positive candidates are meek and teachable, trusting, thankful, given to worship, and wise. The negative candidates for heaven are selfish, hedonistic, independent, prideful, disobedient, even blatantly rebellious, and foolish. You know, even a PhD, there's a lot of PhDs that believe in evolution, and that is just so ridiculous to think that precision things like the human body just randomly fell together. I think heaven is for people. God's looking to see who is a good candidate for heaven. And I mean, if you don't live godly in this life, you're not going to be granted heaven.
Absolutely. There's no way that we can say, and this is a good point that you bring up, Joseph. There are a lot of people today that think that they can just live their lives as they please and just do as they please, go as they please, never study the Word, never pray, never give tithes and offerings to the local New Testament church, never be involved in the local service of the church. And yet somehow, some way, when they die, there's the philosophy they're going to heaven. There are a lot of folks today that I call the C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter. And if you're C&E Christian, then the chances are very, very good you won't have a place in that place called heaven.
Amen.
It is a sad philosophy that many have, but they believe that somehow, some way, just being a good person, as I use the term, there are a lot of people today that pay their bills. They don't beat the dog, kick the dog, cuss the cat, and beat the wife. And as a result of that, they think somehow, some way, I've lived a good, clean life, so therefore I'm going to heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, and the preparation is saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
And so, Joseph, I am thankful that as Christians, we're ready. We're looking up, lifting up our heads, because we know our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
And we know that beyond this life, there's the life to come, and that is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in that place called heaven. Joseph, thank you so much for your input. You hit the button, hit the nail right on the head with your thoughts about that. There are a lot of people today that are living a life of make-believe, Pastor, thinking that somehow, some way, they can be good enough to go to heaven, or they can work enough to go to heaven, or they can be a person that is not accountable to God, but yet somehow, some way, when they die,
amen,
they go to heaven.
Amen. Well, one time, Dr. Youngblood, I preached a message. Amen. Pretty good ain't good enough.
That's right.
Might be bad language, but
mm-hmm. Makes a point.
You get my point.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good enough for us. Amen.
That's right.
When we try, amen, to measure up in the flesh, amen, to do good works in order to get our way, amen, into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, amen, there's never enough works that we can do. This is a faith walk, my friend, and we must realize, Don't fool yourself.
That's right.
Don't think that you can live every day like the devil and for the devil, and then at the very end,
go to heaven.
Go to heaven.
Well, you know,
amen.